There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This is Pat Prescott. Welcome to This Lady Loves Sports. Today, our special guest, Jeffrey Osborne.
On the wings of love, up and above the clouds, the only way to fly.
That's Jeffrey Osborne, and that's what people know you for, Jeffrey, is that incredible voice you have and all that great music, those hits that, you know, we've been listening to for like 30, 40 years now. Would you tell you something about how old we all are? We're going all the way, though. You know, Jeffrey, I wanted to have you as a guest on my podcast because we are sports buddies.
Right.
And I'm bringing a lot of my sports buddies along for the ride. And I know for you, as someone who's lived in L.A. for a very long time, much of your adult life, you are somebody who's a huge Laker fan, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Been a huge Laker fan ever since I moved to L.A., which was 1970. But what interesting enough, Magic Johnson's rookie year, he loved LTD, so he asked us to come and perform in Lansing, Michigan on his birthday, which is in July, before he reported to the Lakers. So we went up and performed for him, and from that moment on, we became like, you know, best friends, and I started doing the anthem for the Lakers, and 32 years in a row, I've opened their season, and I sang most of the championship games, and I got like 6 championship rings from the Lakers. So I became.
Boy, that was easy. You didn't have to even bounce a ball.
And I became their good luck charm. So every big game, they called me to do the anthem, and it was fascinating to have a relationship like that with a sports team.
Yeah, it is. I don't know that anybody else does, and you know, you are legendary in that. I don't think have they lost ever.
They have lost, because it's been a million games that I've sung. But it started, you know, when I started, it was like the first 15 times I've sang, they never lost a game. So they started saying, "Oh wow, something's going on here." So I think I got to about 40 something games before they finally lost one. But very rarely did they lose when I sang. So it was kind of magical.
Yeah. So I guess you haven't been doing much singing for the last couple of years.
I haven't done it. No.
They've been doing a lot of losing.
I opened the season this year. Yeah. They've been
doing it. Hey, you know me. I'm an old Knicks fan, so I have no sympathy for anybody that's worried about losing anything. When I came out here, you know, I was a staunch Knicks fan. I was like, and this is when the Lakers were rolling with Kobe and Shaq and, you know, winning those back-to-backs and everything. And I'm trying to be a Knicks fan with nothing to cheer for, you know. And so after a while, you finally give up. You know, you get tired of hating the team that wins all the time.
That's true.
And, you know, you couldn't help but fall in love with Shaq and feel how you want to feel about Kobe. You know, just you cannot deny his greatness.
Oh, he's a winner.
You had to admire him. Yeah, he's a winner. And so then I became a Laker fan.
Oh, he flipped.
And now the Lakers suck, so there
he
you go.
Flipped, okay.
That's how that goes.
See, I grew up in Providence, Rhode Island, so the team back there, of course, was the Boston Red Sox and the New England Patriots. And
now you know I'm a Yankee fan and a Giants fan.
And I
fan,
didn't
sorry.
Like any of those teams.
Oh, you didn't? No,
I never was a Red Sox fan. I never was a Patriots fan. I was actually a Knicks fan when I lived in Rhode Island. But I had issues with Boston. Boston was one of those towns. I couldn't root for Boston. So it wasn't the players, because I loved the players. But then I came to L.A. and with my relationship with Magic and the rest of the Lakers, I became a staunch Laker fan. And they did not like that back in Rhode Island where I came from.
Oh, that was kind of too bad, huh?
They don't like that.
But that happens, you know?
Exactly.
It does happen. And for you, for somebody who comes from a place like Rhode Island that doesn't have professional teams its own, you know, you get the chance to just pick who's good or whoever you really like and go with that. But the history of the Lakers has been really interesting. And I'm interested in what you're thinking now with Magic at the helm. Mm. You know, you kind of feel like, because you've seen this thing go full circle.
Yeah,
you saw
I have.
When Magic was first here I and have. First started. Yeah. You know, you've been friends with him through the whole the whole AIDS thing and just everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So much that he has been through and the great accomplishments he's made as well. What are you thinking about the coming seasons for the Lakers?
Well, you know, I know that this is the one dream job he's ever wanted. And so he's really serious about making this team a very competitive and another championship team. And I see maybe 2 years before we start becoming like seriously competitive. I think this year is a big year. I think they got to bring in a really good veteran player, someone like a Paul George to get this ball rolling. You know, there's been talks about LeBron, but there's, you know, they have now a lot of space to bring people in, and they have a good young core of players. I think with the players they have now, with the, you know, having Alonzo Bourne and Alonzo Ball and Brandon Ingram, mm-hmm. and you know, they got Russell. I mean, they got some really good players now that I think they can build around. But they got to get those two important veterans in to help these young people along. And I know Magic's passion, it's going to happen. It's definitely going to happen. So I'm sticking it out because I'm thinking 2 years from now, I think we'll be in a great spot.
Yeah, I think that the young players, the other thing they bring to the table is that they don't give up. This is something I noticed during this last season.
Exactly.
They lost some games, but they fought till the end. And I think that's kind of what you want. They're going to need that to be able to attract a veteran to come, to know that they got a good core of people they can play with.
Yeah, you got people with heart. I mean, and Kuzma, wow. I mean, to get a rookie
that
like
boy
Kuzma.
Is balling.
Yeah, he's serious.
I was sorry to see Larry Nance Jr. go, though.
Right.
Like
yeah, Larry was
and
a good, good athlete.
I like both
Clarkson,
of them.
Right.
But if LeBron comes, they may come back. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, you got to give something to get something, you know. So I think they're just making space to allow for them to get the big names that we need here and that we're used to having here in L.A.
Yeah. You know, one thing with Magic, we all know about his basketball acumen and who could be better at knowing the game and analyzing it and being able to break it down. But I would have to think that the business experience that he has had makes him uniquely qualified for what he's doing right now with the Lakers.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And, you know, the difference to me, Magic being in the position that he's in, is he's one of those guys that will sit at every practice. He goes down to every practice and he watches these guys and he watches how they compete. And I know what he's one of those guys, if somebody doesn't show him the fire and the heart or doesn't want to put in the time practicing, oh, that strikes against them right away. And I know from inside that's why a couple of guys aren't here, because he just didn't feel like they gave it up and they weren't serious enough, you know, putting their time in. Because look at the players from back in the day. I mean, they were dedicated players. They put time in. They honed their craft. Today, it's like everything else. I think everything's relative. Now, a lot of these young people are getting paid so much money that they feel they've already made it. They don't want to put the time in. They don't want to get better. They don't want to dedicate themselves. And I see that's what you can see that in the league itself. It's just not as competitive. And then they've made it softer. I hate that.
With the
you can't touch
rules
a guy, right?
Yeah.
I mean, back in the day, like Magic used to say, you come down the middle, you're going to pay for it. Not anymore. They can just walk through. You touch them, it's a foul.
Saw that happen a lot, you know. But another thing is happening, I think, with Magic being around the team is that we are seeing the Laker alumni show up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody's out there. I know Kobe Bryant. I'm so glad to see that he's been contributing. Some, you know, it seems like Kobe became like a real person since he got to the end of his career. Wasn't it amazing to see him win an Oscar? And retire. That was so funny.
That's like amazing.
But I love that he's giving back that way. Have you seen this thing that he's doing?
Oh, the details thing on ESPN? He's brilliant. His mind, he's a basketball mind. Yeah.
And anybody that's willing to sit at his feet and listen is going to learn
a
lot.
Exactly.
Because he did that with Magic and with the other guys.
Right.
Happy to see Kareem around, too. I don't know why.
I don't know about that dancing with the stars thing, though. That's kind of interesting.
You know, Kareem is open-minded, dude. He is.
He's very open-minded. But, you know, he's not as agile as he used to be. Actually, Kareem came to I have a celebrity golf tournament, and I have a softball game. And Kareem came and played in the celebrity softball game. And it was funny. He wanted to play first base, but he couldn't bend down and get any of the balls that was thrown to him.
Well, he's going to definitely have
such
problem
a great
dancing.
Spirit. It's amazing. He got through that first week.
You know, one more thing about the Lakers, and then I want to talk a little bit about your golf game, because you do have game, and this I know for a fact. I play golf.
I don't know how much game I got.
Yeah, right. He's modest, that's for sure. But I just want to say one thing about the Lakers, and that is that I think that the real unsung hero of that team is Jeannie Buss, who I think is just a brilliant sports mind. I think that she's someone who sat at the foot of her dad. And, you know, I always like when Jeannie Buss, when I first became familiar with her and her dad was still alive and she was dating Phil Jackson and all that. And I was like, she just seems like a nice girl. She's so cute and everything. Then I read her book, Laker Girl, and got a little bit into the mind of Jeannie Buss. And now that I've seen some of the things that she's done in the wake of her father's death, and you know Jeannie.
Yeah, I do know Jeannie. She's
a brilliant brilliant woman.
She is.
Who's got so much, she's got a lot to do with where this team is going right
well,
now.
Well, yeah, I was so glad to see her come in and actually kind of take over, because I think we were going in the wrong direction until she came back.
I think a lot of people would agree with you.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And I mean, look at the first person she jumped in hired was Irvin, because she knows that Irvin is a brilliant basketball mind. And then the relationship that he had with her father was like incredible relationship. So I was glad to see her do that. I mean, they made a lot of changes around there. You know, I was kind of shocked when Mitch left, but I understand what was going on. You know, Jeannie knows what's going on. Jeannie is in it to win it. She's in it to win it.
She really is. Yeah. Love that lady. We got to get her on
this
Lady Love Sports, because that is one who really does. Jeffrey Osborne with us today on this Lady Love Sports. And Jeffrey, you really are a very good golf player. I saw the rankings for entertainers who play golf. Have you seen that?
I saw it once.
You were in the top 15, I think.
No, I wasn't in the top 15.
Where were you?
I was in the top 50-something or something, maybe.
Okay.
If we're lucky. There's some great golfers.
I was trying to give you a little, I was trying to pump you up a little bit.
Yeah, I know, but somebody would ask me to come and play in a tournament based on that statement.
who's really good that's an entertainer?
Kenny G is amazing.
Oh, that's right. Kenny G, I think, was
Kenny
in the top 10.
Kenny G is good. I'll tell you who else is really good. Alfonso Ribeiro is an incredible golfer. And then a lot of these athletes, you know, people that come out to the tournaments, like Byron Scott. Byron's a great golfer. Ahmad Rashad's a great golfer. I see a lot of them coming through my tournament that I'm shocked at how well they play. But, you know, athletes and baseball players, they can just crush a golf ball. So you're seeing these people like Reggie Smith and Mark McGwire, they're like crushing the ball. So it's interesting to play with, and they're so competitive.
How'd you fall in love with golf?
You know, it's interesting. I fell in love with golf through music. I was asked to come to a country club and maybe do a 20-minute set, and they would give me a membership, a lifetime membership. And I'm like, I don't play golf. That's not interesting me. They were like, well, you know, maybe your son wants to play. And my son was 13 at the time. And I said, that might be good. Well, your son can take lessons. So I went up and I did the little set, and then brought my son up to take lessons. And I'm watching him, and guy said, why don't you just try it? And that's how I got into golf. So
that's crazy.
Yes, now I'm like addicted, And he's always been addicted, my son. So it's a great game. You know, it's amazing that you can actually have a celebrity golf tournament and you have people that love the sport so much, athletes and entertainers, that will just devote their time and just come and play and give back. And that's the beauty of it. You know, I've been doing this for 7 years now in Rhode Island, and I've been able to give over $1 million to charities. And it's all through the game of golf. It's more than just a game. It's an incredible social sport, and it's a gentleman's game. You know, you learn a lot, and I just feel blessed that I've been able to go back to Rhode Island and do this, because you know there's so many golf tournaments out here, but it means more for me to go back home and be able to give back to the charities that I give to and to bring incredible people. Like Magic hosts my tournament every year, so he comes back. And then being an entertainer, I get Smokey to come. I get the OJs to come. I get Johnny Gill. I get Bill Biv DeVoe. I get Philip Bailey. And we jam. So it's more than just a golf tournament. It's now I got the entertainers and I got the athletes. I got Magic that comes. I got Sugar Ray Leonard that comes. I got Dr. J that comes. I mean, it's just the list. It's amazing. My tournament is actually amazing. And now we've brought it to Foxwoods Resort and Casino.
Oh, nice.
So now it's a destination. Now it's a desired destination. So these guys are really enjoying it because everything is right there. They got 2 18-hole golf courses. This year we have a bowling tournament. We have a comedy show. Last year the comedy show was Cedric the Entertainer, Chris Tucker, and JB Smoove. This year we're putting together the lineup. Then this year the tournament is July 29th, 30th, and 31st. The 29th is a comedy show. 30th is an afternoon. There's a bowling tournament. And then we have our reception where the celebrities meet the sponsors. And then Tuesday we play. Well, yeah, so it's a fun event.
You know, Magic can't do everything. So no. I'm sure you need an MC to help out a little bit with with the festivities.
I'm feeling you on that.
But you know, Jeffrey, tell us a little bit about some of the charities that you support. I know growing up in Rhode Island, there couldn't have been a whole lot of black people growing up in Rhode Island.
No, not a lot of black people at all.
First of all, not a lot of people, period.
No, it is the smallest state.
In Providence.
It is the smallest state. Not a lot of black people. You know, that's what was interesting. I met LTD coming through Providence. They used to be Sam and Dave's backup band. Uh-huh. Sam and Dave was huge back in the 60s. And they came through and someone told me, we got to go see this band. They're playing in the club down the street. It's 10 black guys. I said, 10 black guys in a band in Rhode Island? I got to go see this. And so that's how it happened for me. I went down to see him. The night I went to see him, their drummer was outside the club smoking weed. This was 1970. It was a major offense. They took him to jail. I walked in the club that night. Like, can you sit in and play drums? And so I sat in, sang a couple songs, and that's how my career started. So
see, just think, you could have been on the corner smoking weed, and instead you were in the club playing.
That's right, exactly.
That's awesome. Did you play sports when you were growing up there?
I did. I played, you know, like with the Recs. You know, I played baseball. I played a little basketball. But most of my time was after school, was standing on the corners with my friends singing, my little singing groups. And I started playing drums when I was like 15. So I had these little bands. We were practicing all the time. So I didn't get as much into sports as I would have liked to, because most of my time was spent, you know, I was kind of like the little child prodigy in Rhode Island. I had all the jobs, all the gigs, all the bar mitzvahs. I did everything back then, you know.
Yeah, because you were just a kid when you got started.
Yeah. My first professional job was with the OJs when I was 15. Mm-hmm. And that was in Providence. So that was another one of those stories.
Yeah.
Well, since we're talking sports. But yeah, my charities are interesting. A lot of them are based around today's youth. You know, I have the Boys and Girls Club. It's always been a big part
of my life.
Exactly. I have the Rhode Island Philharmonic Orchestra, which is interesting. And together we put music back in the public school systems. So I've been working with them, and that's been incredible. I have a St. Mary's Home for Children, and they deal with abused children. And that really touched my heart when I went and saw what was going on there. I have the Met School, which is an alternative learning high school where you could go and You can take whatever you want to be in life. You can take classes to support that. So that's a great school. And then I have a 9-hole golf course, which is called Buttonhole, which is the only golf course in Providence, which is crazy. And they go to the schools, and at recess, they teach the kids about the game of golf, and they give them golf lessons. And it's like the only place in Providence that that happens. So they're one of my charities. And the sixth charity is the Amos House, and they are an organization that take people off the streets and feed them. Every day they feed people. There's a line of people. They teach them culinary arts. And they teach them carpentry. And had a restaurant where they built everything in a restaurant. And it's an amazing organization. It's one of those community organizations that that just, you know, it feels good. It's a safe haven for people. And so that's my so I only have 6 charities. I didn't want to do a bunch of charities and give people $1,000. And I wanted to be able to give people money that would make a difference. And so with the 6 charities, we've done well. And then we do things on the side. Like, we just went to Connecticut. So I went to the Connecticut Boys and Girls Club and gave them some money also.
Oh, that's nice.
You know, and then I've donated money to a lot of different projects, things that I feel like, you know, we should help people out right here and give a little money to. But those are my 6 main charities.
That's awesome. Yeah. And, you know, bringing music in the schools and bringing sports in the schools, which you're doing both of those things with the charities that you're working with. But, you know, the sports thing, just like music, teaches kids so much, even if they're never going to be professional athletes.
Right, it does.
You know, just the discipline you learn, teamwork.
Yeah, working with others,
You learn how to get up when you fall down and start over again. And I think the only thing really harder than really, you know, being in sports and achieving like that is to be the parent of a young athlete, something you have also gone through.
Yeah.
And I watched you going there because my boyfriend's boys are friends with your boy.
Right, exactly.
And they played ball against each other and stuff. And I think that the parents were entertaining.
The parents are entertaining.
That's a hard thing, isn't it?
It is a hard thing. It's a hard thing to sit there and be cool. I've seen some really out of control parents. Now I'm going through it with my grandson. So my grandson is 8 and he's playing baseball. So we're up watching his baseball games, you know, and it's interesting. These parents, they really get into it.
Your son was pretty good, though.
My son was a great basketball player.
Your son was a really great basketball player.
Yeah,
a little short.
He was a little small. Yeah, he was 5'10". Trying to be a point guard. What's great in high school, he was the leading scorer at Chatsworth High. You know, his name is on the wall. But then you get to college and you got a 6'5 guy posting you up under the basket. becomes a little more challenging.
But I know you made a lot of sacrifices to be there for a lot of those games.
Oh, yeah.
And to support that way. In closing, I just wanted to ask you what it means to you now when you look back and think about those opportunities that you'll never get again.
Right.
Those times that you made that sacrifice to be there for your son.
You know, those are the most precious years that, you know, ever. To be able, it's just such a bonding time with you, and I love it. I mean, I do everything with my son. We play golf together. We fly fish. We go out and we're doing fly fishing. We do everything.
I did not
together.
Know about the fly fishing.
Oh yeah, I'm a serious fisherman. I'm seriously into it. And together we took fly fishing lessons, and we go out and we throw that fly and we catch trout, and then we go to the ocean. Like, we go to Martha's Vineyard every summer and we're catching striped bass it's just amazing. You know, I have to say, I've written 90% of my lyrics while I have been out on the water in nature.
Wow.
Fishing. It's the most peaceful thing, and it's just me, my music. I take it out there, my headset's on, and I'm fishing, and I write 90% of my lyrics that way. But sports has been it's amazing how you actually can bond so much with your kids through sports and through life in general. But sports is one of those things where you watch them, you watch their competitive energy, you watch how they work with other people, and it's a great sports is just a wonderful thing, you know.
Gotta say, yeah. Jeffrey Osborne has a brand new release too. Can't have you here without mentioning that. It's called Worth It.
Right, Worth It All.
And Worth It All, and it is absolutely amazing. It's on Mac Avenue Records.
Right.
And just appreciate you, Jeffrey, being a part of my podcast here.
I appreciate you having me on. This is great.
This lady loves sports, and she loves Jeffrey Osborne, too.
I'm
thanks
impressed
for being
that this lady is so really seriously into sports. Go ahead, Pat. Go
I'm
ahead.
Pat Prescott, and I am serious.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.